Amen. Appreciate the prayer tonight and ask continued interest in your prayers. I notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, this happens to be a text from a year ago on this Wednesday night, but it'll be a very different message, different aspect, different approach to some of these truths that we want to rejoice in tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, "In everything give thanks." In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's rather plain, isn't it? It's God's will in Christ Jesus. That is, if we're born of the Spirit, if we're one of His, if we're blessed to know the truth of what He's done for us, of God's eternal purpose, of Jesus accomplishing what the Father sent Him to do, if we understand that, then it's God's will that we give thanks for that every day. In everything. Wow. In everything. Have you thanked God in every circumstance in your life? I haven't. I'll have to confess. I haven't. Should I? Yes. So I failed. The flesh is weak. But that's God's will. It's God's will that we, basically what he's saying is, at all times, have a thankful heart. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes things arise and things happen. It may just be a natural process of life, but it gets hard sometimes. And so this is the bar. We may not always get there, but this is the bar. It's God's will that we have a thankful heart at all times and in all things. I want to approach this tonight in the way of examining some of those various ways, some of those various situations that we find ourselves in. And notice some of the scriptures that would be associated with that. You know, there are times when God's people have experienced great joy. And it's often accompanied with great thanksgiving. And I would venture to say that in times of great joy, we're more apt to express thanksgiving to God. I'm sometimes, Facebook has a lot, I'll just put it that way. And it's interesting to me sometimes when things are going well for somebody, they want us to talk about how good God is. But when things are not going well, they don't talk about that. And yet, we know that God is good all the time. I mean, just because our circumstances change doesn't mean anything's different about God. And so, in everything, give thanks. Do you remember when the children of Israel were delivered across the Red Sea? Remember reading about it? when they... came across, then Exodus chapter 15 is that the subtitle in my Bible says Moses' Song of Joy. Here's a great deliverance that people enjoyed by the hand of Almighty God in delivering his people. And there was great joy expressed in that. Great joy and thanksgiving to God for blessing them. Now, it didn't immediately happen when God sent Moses down there to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." It was quite a struggle, wasn't it? And God exercised his power in many ways, and eventually through many miracles, and then eventually the firstborn, the Passover, was instituted, and all of those kinds of things. And then the children of Israel came out of Egypt by the mighty arm of God. But then they found themselves with their backs against the Red Sea. They weren't singing that song of deliverance yet. As a matter of fact, they were fearful. But Moses told them, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And they saw it. The waters of the Red Sea parted. They went across on dry land. The same waters that parted for them to go across on dry land enclosed the Egyptians that were pursuing them, and they saw their enemies no more. They enjoyed a tremendous deliverance, and there was this great song of joy. And I'm telling you, that's Thanksgiving. When we're praising God for the deliverance that we've had. Well, hasn't God delivered us tonight? And I'll tell you, what we've been blessed to know is a greater deliverance than the children of Israel across the Red Sea, being delivered from Pharaoh and his army. We've got an eternal deliverance. And since we can't be separated from it, there's never a reason not to be thankful to him for it. Because the tribulations are going to come in this life. Paul said in Romans 8:18, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." When we're blessed to see that ultimate deliverance and experience it in its fullest, and it'll never end. What a blessing. And so, when in view of our deliverance, quite often it's easier for us to render that praise and thanksgiving. Let's think of a situation a little about the same way. I mean, a great deliverance, but a little different situation. Do you remember the 10 lepers that were cleansed? Wow. Don't you know they were rejoicing? Don't you know they were rejoicing over the great deliverance that they had had from their uncleanness? But as they went their way, how many turned back to give God praise?
One.
One in ten. Do you think Jesus noticed? Certainly he did. Because he asked the question. Luke 17:17. Where are the nine? He noticed. Do you think he notices tonight? When all that he has done for us, when we fail to give him praise and thanksgiving for the great blessings that we enjoy from his bountiful hand every day, I think he notices. He did then. I believe he knows it tonight. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, sometimes we're faced with uncertainties. And that can be a fearful time, isn't it? And there's all kinds of uncertainties in this life. Why, there was even a time in Luke chapter 1 where the angel appeared to Mary. And when he delivered his message, Mary said, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" But you know, eventually, when she went to visit Elizabeth, she praised God anyway. I think I mentioned probably a couple of times here in recent days, King Jehoshaphat. The enemy came against them, and he feared. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. Jehoshaphat feared. But he also would say, "Lord," he said, "the enemy cometh, and we know not what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." You know, there's a lot of times in life we find ourselves in times of uncertainty. Why, this nation right now is in a time of uncertainty, isn't it? Should that override our feeling thankful to God? Well, if it does, we need to check our heart. If those kinds of things are having more influence upon us than thinking about the goodness and mercy of God, we need to pause and consider where our heart is, where our help is. Our trust is in the Lord. And he's not lost control of anything. He knows what he's going to do. Ours is a matter of waiting. Oh, we don't like to do that, do we? We don't like to wait. But ours is a matter of waiting and trusting. And while you're at it, give thanks in everything. Amen. Don't forget, while you're waiting, to continue to give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What if you happen to have a great loss? Tragedies do come. Life happens. When I think about something like that, I think about Job. You know, in the very first chapter of the book of Job, things happen quickly in that book, don't they? And things begin to pile up, one thing after another. If I take the time to go through it, I'm afraid I'll take more time than I want to with that. But things begin to pile up, one thing after another. What did Job do? Did he give up? Did he lose his faith in the Lord? No. Let me turn to that real quick. Job chapter 1. After all those things that the messengers came and told him about. Job chapter 1, verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He blessed the name of the Lord. And then it says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He didn't lose his integrity. He didn't lose his trust. He didn't lose his focus upon what is truly, truly the most important. In context of, even with all of the things that was happening, his mind, he still worshiped God. It didn't distract him from that. And then even later, when the devil touched his flesh and the boils came upon him and he was in such agony from that. And his wife told him, why don't you curse God and die? Remember how he responded? He said unto her, thou speakest, verse 10, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I tell you, when you think about Brother Job, when you think about what he went through, and yet he was blessed to continue to think upon the Lord and look to him in all his trouble. Wow. I've not had to go through what Job went through. In everything, give thanks. Other places in Scripture, we might not normally associate these scriptures with this, but other places in Scripture where affliction is spoken of. I want to notice two of the Psalms in particular, and both of them are referred to as Messianic Psalms. And so Psalm 22 and Psalm 69, both of them speak of things regarding the Lord Jesus. Later, when he would come in the flesh, and the things that he would suffer. But where they both speak of a great amount of suffering. All right? Let's go to Psalm 22. After a great deal of suffering is spoken of in the psalm. David says this in verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. He's been speaking of some tremendous suffering. And yet he says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. Think about that for a moment. Even in afflictions, which afflictions, you know, troubles that come. Years ago, I heard this expression, and I've seen it play out many times, that afflictions will either make you bitter or better. And if we keep that in mind when we're going through some challenges in our life, maybe it'll help us to remember to let that have its perfect work. That let it have a perfecting of us instead of causing us to be bitter. So David said, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. Oh, may God help us to remember that even in our troubles, we're to be thankful to God. If nothing else, you can be thankful that the troubles are going to come to an end in this life. Glory awaits us. Unending joy awaits us after this life is over. Excuse me, Psalm 69. Another psalm where a great deal of suffering is being spoken of. But in verse 30, David says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek the Lord. Oh, as we think about in everything, it's the will of God that we remain thankful, that we give praise to his holy name. He's worthy of it. How about times when we feel like maybe the Lord's far from us? You ever been there? You ever had those times when you felt like the Lord was clean gone? You know, I like what somebody said one time. If you feel like the Lord's left you, who moved? The Lord's still the same. We do go through those dry spells. We do. But you know, if we can somehow just remember that even in those times, if we can render praise and be thankful, it'll help us. You know, there's a psalm, Psalm 88. There's a psalm in the Bible where there's not an uplifting thought in the whole psalm. The psalmist was down in the dumps when it started, and he was still there when it finished. Sometimes we're like that, aren't we? I've heard it said, and I haven't tested it. Maybe Brother Thomas has, but I haven't been that thorough in testing it all. But I've heard that the psalms touch on every human emotion. I can believe that. I haven't tested it, but I can, you know, having read through the Psalms, it certainly does seem like that could be the case. And sometimes we're just down in the dumps. Sometimes sometimes we've allowed ourselves to be distracted. Sometimes we're going through something and maybe it's just a personal trial for you. I mean, situation, we don't know. But we do know that we get down in the dumps sometimes, and we do know that we feel like the Lord is far from us. Look at Psalm 13. Psalm 13. Let's read the whole thing. Now, it's only six verses. So. All right. What I wanted to do with this lesson is just to give us a a variety of situations that can arise in our lives, and yet we're told in everything, give thanks. Psalm 13, hope you found it by now. Listen to how David expresses himself here. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Now, has the Lord ever forgotten any of his children? No, but we sure feel like it sometimes, don't we? Four times he asks, how long here? How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. He's in quite a strait, isn't he? But we're not finished. He says, but. Even though he feels like the Lord has left him, even though he feels like the Lord hasn't helped him as he's called upon him, he says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Now, if you're singing because you remember the goodness of the Lord toward you, I'd say that's thanksgiving. And that's where David was. He felt like the Lord wasn't hearing him. He felt like the Lord wasn't answering him, but he felt like the Lord wasn't providing what at least what he was asking for, and he didn't feel the presence of the Lord, but he's going to trust him anyway. In everything, give thanks. I think that's just an outstanding example there in Psalm 13 that we need to remember, because we get that way sometimes. But I will trust and sing praises because the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. Along those same lines, there's times when we don't feel like being thankful. Now that sounds hard, harsh, uncaring, but you know, just like joy, there's times we just don't feel joyful. I'm not saying it's right, I'm just saying that's the way we are. That's the way life is. There's times like that. But you know, the Apostle Paul gives us a lot of instruction. I don't know how many of these I'll try to go to, but he gives us a lot of instruction with regard to difficulties, tribulations, and so forth, but remembering God's grace is with us. Romans 5. Probably remember how this chapter begins, where it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And we do rejoice in that, don't we? What a blessing it is that we're enabled by his Spirit to believe the precious truth that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, that he came to do what the Father sent him to do for those that were given to him to save from the foundation of the world. And I tell you, those folks who don't appreciate the doctrine of election and predestination, when you start talking like that, that God chose out a people in Christ before the foundation of the world, that they don't have anything to do with that choice, but God made it for them, it upsets them, doesn't it? Years ago, I remember hearing Ella Bradley say, well, whose hand would you rather your salvation be in, yours or the Lord? I'm satisfied to leave it in His hands. But even when we're trusting and believing and rejoicing in these truths, tribulations still come in this life. And so he continues here by saying, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Pause right there. Do you glory in tribulations? This is a lesson from Paul. Some of us are still working on that, aren't we? Glorying in tribulation, right? And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So when we enter into tribulations as we should, trusting God, hoping in His word, knowing He's faithful, knowing He's able to supply our every need, when we enter into it with that frame of mind, it's a whole lot easier for us to trust. But if we're not in that frame of mind, those tribulations work the other way, don't they? And so we're not very thankful in those situations. We might even be given over to grumbling and complaining sometimes if we're not in the right frame of mind in those situations. But Paul is telling us how we should be. The Holy Spirit is guiding and inspiring Paul and giving him what we need to hear. Glory in tribulations? Well, that sounds a lot like what James said. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it joy in temptations? That's a different way of thinking than this old flesh would have you to do, isn't it? To remember, we need the Lord. We're so prone to strike out on our own and not ask the Lord for His help for the day. But when we're thinking like we should be, and we're saying, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to face today, but You do. I'm going to need Your help. Doesn't that help your day go a whole lot better? When we approach it in that way? Because we know something may arise that we need His help. And when it does, we've already been thinking about it. And we're more quickly say, Lord, here it is. I need Your help. Now, the Apostle Paul went through some very severe trials, like stonings and shipwrecked and beatings, stripes, multiple times. And what he's telling us here says, not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. If we can just bear in mind, in whatever situation we're in, the grace that God has already bestowed upon us, the love that he's given to us that we cannot be separated from. If we can have that in the forefront of our mind, if it's like frontlets before our eyes, if we remember the goodness and mercy that God has already given to us, it'll help us in all things to give thanks. Paul went farther into that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Remember when he had that thorn in the flesh and he asked the Lord three times to remove it? Now, think about this. You know, that's something we would do. But Paul, he already spoken in that same chapter of the abundance of revelations that he had, lest he should be exalted above measure, he was given a thorn in the flesh to buffet him. And so Paul begged the Lord three times, besought the Lord thrice that he would remove that thorn. Just think for a moment. Now, we can understand him wanting, I mean, we would do the same thing, wouldn't we? But what I'm thinking of in terms of, and we can't judge him, but I'm thinking with him doing that, then how thankful he might have been. He's asking the Lord to remove it. But the Lord had given that to him for a higher purpose. Second Corinthians 12. I won't be able to quote these. Here's what the Lord told Paul after he besought him three times to remove the thorn. Verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace. Now, here's the answer when Paul is saying, Lord, remove the thorn. Please. However he said it, he's asking, Lord, please, remove this thorn. The answer is, my grace is sufficient. He went on to say a little bit more. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, for his strength to be appreciated and depended upon, sounds like to me we have to come to the end of our strength. There are times when people just keep trying and trying and trying it their way. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says this. After he quoted the Lord, he says this. Most gladly, therefore. It doesn't sound like to me that he's still asking for it to be removed. He understands what the Lord told him. And so he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Now that takes a little bit to get your head wrapped around that, doesn't it? To glory in infirmities? But you know what? Well, he says, I'll glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When I've come to the end of my strength and the Lord comes to deliver. And you know, Paul experienced that a number of times, didn't he? He says in the very beginning of this book, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that there were times that he despaired of life. He thought it was over. And the Lord had mercy. The Lord delivered. And so, no doubt, the apostle was faithful to God, and he did what he could, but there were times that he got to the end of his strength, and the Lord blessed him with more. The Lord came through. And the sooner we can learn this lesson also, the better we'll be. So Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity. Now, nobody wants to invite infirmity into their life. We're not talking about that. But when we are trying our best and we realize we're not able, the sooner we call upon the Lord for his help, the sooner we ask, Lord, I can't do this. Help me. The better off we are. So he goes on to say in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. And that's key. When we're trying our best to be faithful to the Lord and things aren't going like we would like for them to, we keep trusting in him. If it means suffering for Christ's sake, if it means suffering for his glory, if it means that although man doesn't approve, we want to be faithful to God, then so be it. And when Paul speaks about taking pleasure in these infirmities, you know, that's the consolation we have. If we know that we're trying to be faithful to God, then we can rest assured the Lord will help us. He'll come behind to take care of the consequences. So he says, in all these things, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. When I'm weak, when I'm not trusting in myself, when I know it has to be in the power of his might, when we're looking to the Lord and calling upon him for his help, that's when we're strong. Because it's not our strength, it's what the Lord blesses. So, very quickly, there's also times when we're in a situation together, and we have the opportunity to be thankful for that. You know, he says that everything, give thanks. So sometimes it's not tribulation. Sometimes it's not distresses. Sometimes it's not persecutions. There's times that we have opportunity to be together. And I'm thinking primarily, or right now, I'm thinking about like when we have a communion service. We're able to enjoy that together. And it's something that's such a blessing that we can do that together. I mean, there's times when we're off to ourselves and we can have a good time with the Lord in prayer and praise and thanksgiving and meditating upon his word, but it's just special that as the church, that we can come together and that we can have a service like the communion service. Brother Thomas, I appreciated something you said over at Enterprise this past weekend about how that when Jesus instituted that Last Supper, that Passover that they had been observing, it looked back to a time when God delivered them. But when we institute the Lord's Supper, we're looking forward. We're going to observe that till he comes. But we can do that together. And that's why it's so important you know, when we practice close communion. Because hopefully, when we gather together, we're of the same mind. And the same understanding about what Christ has done for us, what God did provide for us. But for someone just to open up the communion service, and there's one there partaking, thanking God that they did what they had to be saved, and all these ideas about salvation, there's not a whole lot in common there. But in that, we can give thanks that God has blessed us, that we can come together being thankful for what he's done for us and observing that service in the way that he's prescribed for us in his word. And then one more thought. Sometimes a situation involves being thankful for others. You know, several of the epistles that Paul wrote very early on in that epistle, maybe within the first two or three verses, he would be thanking the Lord for those brethren. I thank the Lord tonight for you. I thank the Lord tonight for his people wherever they are. What a blessing it is that we can go through this life with the brethren. That we can rejoice together in these wonderful truths. Together. Giving thanks. There's another opportunity for us to give thanks. Because we know we ought to be thankful. And for those of you that have had to... Well, I'm thinking especially like military. Brother Kenneth, times that you've been, Brother Sam, times that you've had to go where Uncle Sam said to be and couldn't assemble freely with the saints, you have a thankfulness in your heart for what we have tonight that some of the rest of us hasn't experienced. But we've all had situations that kept us away from being able to assemble with the saints. And I tell you, when those times come around, you get thankful for what we have in the house of the Lord. In everything, give thanks. And we could go on the rest of the night with different situations. But I hope I've given you a variety of things to stir your mind. I hope I've touched your heart to realize what blessings we have. Not only in the finished work of Christ, which is the greatest of all, but right now, in this moment in time, we have blessings with the brethren and the church and the truths of God and the opportunity to live our lives in a way that bring glory and honor to his matchless name. We've got a lot of reasons to be thankful to the Lord. So let's be mindful of it and let's move our lips in thanksgiving. You know, it's good to speak of these things, isn't it? One to another. You know, Malachi talks about that. And the book of remembrance was written for them that spake of these things one to another. It's good for us not only to feel it, but to express it. Right. Say thank you, Lord. And thanks unto God for the many blessings that he's given us in our lives. Now, we've got a few minutes left. Quite often on this night, in Thanksgiving Eve, I guess you'd call it, we've given an opportunity for folks to just speak about some of the things you're thankful for. I've already told you just now, I'm thankful for each one of you. I'm thankful for Piney Grove Church. Thankful for my family. Just thankful for so many things. God has been so good to us. I love that song, "The Lord has been so good to me." You know, I tend to change a word or two in there You know, when it says, I want to sing his praise, sometimes I sing it, I'm going to sing his praise. You know, there's no reason why I can't. He's been so good to me. I want to give him thanks and praise for all that he's done for us. There's a lot of other scriptures we could have gone to tonight, talking about thanksgiving. That's just the one, the blessing and the wonder of the Word of God. It's rich. It's full. There's plenty of things for us to read about and see those situations where God's people were faithful. So who would like to say something about what you're thankful for tonight?
And I think about and wish that I had spent more time. But you know something? The Lord knows that. And so, and I'm so blessed to be here at Pine Grove. And this could go on and on. And so I just think of, I just think what all he has done to the, I mean, what I can't ever think of all that he's done. But you know what I'm trying to read, mm-hmm. You know? And so, and it continues to grow, and it continues. And then I like the way you put this a lot of times. When we get to heaven, we'll have all eternity to thank him. Mm-hmm. I'll start trying to thank us, Lord, I just, when I get to heaven, that's, I don't have to worry about how, you know, the time is near. And I'm glad that song was sung because he is so good to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the tip of an iceberg.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? Yes?
I'm thankful that we have this opportunity and privilege. I'm also thankful for the heritage that we've had here, that I've had. Knowing that I could have been somewhere else or been thrown into a completely different world, I'm thankful that God saw fit to bring me into Elvin and Doris Bond's world,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to
Amen.
Have a godly influence in my life. They showed them. We can't teach our children. We can't make our children. Children of God, but we can teach our children. So when God does open their eyes and their heart, they know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank the Lord every much for the godly influence that Mom and Dad had on me, the dear ones that have gone on before us here in this place, had on me, because it's because of that influence that I am who I am today. And I thank the Lord for His mercy and His grace upon one such as I, that He would give me this world to be in. My family. Thank the Lord for you, my children, grandchildren. I just have truly been blessed to feel like I've been in the palm of His hand all my life. And I'm looking forward to eternity to get praise Him long enough.
Okay. Anyone else?
I'd just like to say that I'm thankful for the family that I've been brought up in here. I'm thankful for each one, including the members and my ex. And thankful for being able to travel with you, Sister Nancy, to the different churches.
Been a great blessing to us too, Brother Sam.
I'm thankful for this church. And I know it's a many things now. All my life. I remember their beginning to love the church. But it's been there for me. I appreciate the love that I feel here at this church, but amongst the members.
the wrong thing,